You can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day here on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, joining in our issue discussion. And lest I forget it, and oft times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I believe is timely in our Thanksgiving season. I'm asking the question today, are we really thankful? As Christians, as patriots, as conservatives, as citizens in America in general, are we truly thankful for what God has done, for what God is doing, and for what God shall do as we lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct our paths? We're talking about that series of questions that we're going to have during the broadcast today as we face the issues. Are we really thankful? Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we pause for a moment and recognize just for a moment, first place in our lives, should we be thankful each and every day or just one very special day out of each year? I believe all times in America, we find Americans, generally speaking, even among Christians, they don't even think about the term thankfulness or thanksgiving or thanking the Lord other than that one day out of the year. I believe the first place that we find in our nation today is, unfortunately, I believe it is ingratitude. I'm looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Ladies and gentlemen, thankfulness is mandated, commanded in the Scripture. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, be ye thankful. It's not an option. It's not something that we can pick or choose. God commands that we be thankful. And by the way, in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, thanks and thanksgivings found 129 times. That ought to tell us that God has a lot to say about thankfulness and thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about that today. Love to hear your dialogue and discussion. What are you thankful for? How do you celebrate Thanksgiving? How should we as Christians in America view what is taking place in our nation? Should we be thankful? Should we gripe and bellyache about it? Should we stand up and be counted among those that are truly thankful for what God has done in America, for what God has done in our nation, for what God has done and is doing in our lives? That's where we're going today. Love to hear from you. Let me remind you as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do not face the issues based on denominational dogma. We do not face the issues based on political rhetoric. We're not facing the issues based on some philosophical jargon. We face the issues based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it God's truth book. When Jesus spoke to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said this, if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, God's Word makes a declaratory statement about His Word. Thy Word is truth. didn't say it's partial truth, but the entire written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is truth. And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is, as we find it in American culture today, there's so many that do not believe in the word of God as being factual, as being actual, as being from Holy God, and being the truth book. In fact, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a profound statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be factually true even today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of American civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to get back to the Word. Turn back to the Word. As we celebrate Christmas, and as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the season that we're in now, Thanksgiving, we ought to look at all that is about us and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for what you have done, for what you are doing, and what you shall do. And that text that I read just a moment ago, Romans chapter 1, the scripture talks about in that text people seeing the handiwork of God, knowing what God has done in creation, and yet they do not thank Him and praise Him. So may that be a challenge to us today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, listen to the truth, seek the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, right here on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? Good question. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag flowing Old Glory 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here with me in the studio today, Brother Ken Michael Fresh. Brother Ken is going to be talking with me about why we should be thankful. Are we really thankful? And answer some questions that you may have in relationship to that. Brother Ken, thank you for being with us today. And it is my delight to have you in the studio with us as we talk about this wonderful, wonderful subject of being thankful. Just a little thumbnail sketch for our listeners. If you were to summarize what Thanksgiving means, if you were to summarize for a listening audience or for an individual, explaining to them, what is Thanksgiving?
First of all, Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to join you on the broadcast today. And I'm thankful to the Lord to open the door to give me opportunities to share my faith and my understanding of the Bible. So as a sincere believer in Jesus Christ, my objective is to obey all the commands of Jesus Christ,
amen,
small and great. Mm-hmm. I'm personally completely opposed to this essentials-only doctrine that's floating around out in the modern church. Mm-hmm. I think it's a heresy. It's false teaching. We have to obey all the commands of Christ. So as I look at something like Thanksgiving, I always test and examine myself, my beliefs, and my practices against the scriptures. To start, you have to look at history. Mm-hmm. While this is in some sorts a secular holiday, as well as a sacred one that we pull in as believers, you have to start with the history of Thanksgiving. So we go back to 1621 and the Pilgrims.
That's right. Amen. Well, go back to 1620. That's a good starting point, Brother Ken. Well, go back to 1621. Our pilgrims arrived here in the United, what is now the United States of America, in 1620. And that first harvest was pitiful. The winter was so cold, freezing. And out of all of those arriving on the Mayflower, a large number of those died because of malnutrition, because of hunger, because of freezing, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, what fascinates me, what is a good indication for us all, I believe, Brother Ken, is to recognize even in the midst of that, they paused. It was a three-day celebration. And they paused to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. They were thanking the Lord for his, what you would call preserving of their lives. They were thanking the Lord for the provision that God had made for them. And I'm just so thankful, Brother Ken, that we can see that as a good example. It was in 1863, I believe it was then, through Abraham Lincoln's proclamation that we first started celebrating Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday of November as a holiday in America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I want to ask you, and you can be pondering. We'll finish a few more moments of an elongated monologue and then open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. How do you view Thanksgiving? Is it, some, Brother Ken, call it Turkey Day? Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen, is not Turkey Day. In fact, many will eat something other than turkey. I personally like ham better than I like turkey on Thanksgiving. I do like turkey, gravy, and the sides with it. That makes a wonderful meal. But what I'm wanting to get at, ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving is not just about filling the belly. Thanksgiving is not just about having a meal that you engorge yourself so much that you can't work for the next couple of days. I believe that we need to recognize Thanksgiving and the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental thoughts of Thanksgiving. It was the Webster's Dictionary that said Thanksgiving means to be grateful, means to be appreciative, means to be pleased with. And with this, ladies and gentlemen, with this thought, can we imagine that very first Thanksgiving? What were they grateful for? What were they appreciative for? What were they pleased with that had taken place? Because certainly, from the human standpoint, from the comfort standpoint, from the standpoint of having a luxurious meal, from the standpoint of having everything that they may have needed or wanted, it wasn't there. But yet they thanked the Lord, had a harvest celebration. It was called a harvest festival then. It was not Thanksgiving as we know it today, but that was the starting point for it. And Brother Ken, when we look at that and analyze that, as we look at the world condition today, as we look at the nation's condition today, what is it we find that as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we can point to and say, God, I'm sure thankful we're having wars and rumors of wars. God, I'm sure thankful for the fact that our president's in the crosshairs of all of the loose slacks, lost liberals in America today. That is a little far out statement. But what should we be thankful for as we see what is happening? And ladies and gentlemen, it looks like all ends are coming loose at the same time. It looks as though we're having devastation on every hand. I'm not trying to be macabre. I'm not trying to point a dark, devastating negative picture. But Brother Ken, that's the things that we see from the human perspective. So just how do we, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, as Americans, what is God's recommendation for celebrating Thanksgiving?
Very, very good point. And if I could go back and embellish a little bit on that original Thanksgiving that we have recorded in history.
Right.
The participants were the pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower. And they were targeting arriving in somewhere in Northern Virginia. They got blown off course. They ended up in Massachusetts. But who were these pilgrims? Mm-hmm. And we find that they were English separatists.
Yes.
And at the time, you had the Church of England that had been established, breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, but it was still corrupt, mm-hmm. still had false doctrines and inclusions from the practices of the Catholicism. And the Puritans, who are a well-known group of people, they tried to purify the Church of England from the inside.
Yes.
The separatists said, no, it can't be reformed. We've got to break off and create our own congregations, independent, and stay loyal to the Word of God. So for the most part, the 102 passengers on the Mayflower were these English separatists.
Right.
Not all of them, but most of them. So they came. They had a very difficult time establishing in New England during the winter. And after that brutal first winter, they did have a successful harvest with the help of some Indians. Mm-hmm. Squanto, a popular Indian. And from God seeing them through that difficult winter and giving them a harvest and keeping them alive, sustaining their life, they had this celebration. Mm-hmm. They had a three-day feast that included possibly turkey, but certainly other fowl, venison, corn, squash, and the crops that they would grow at that time.
If I could jump in, I hope they had corn on the cob.
That's absolutely.
Go ahead.
So these English separatists, they were Congregationalists. They believed in independent local congregations. They believed in the total authority of the scriptures to govern life, practice, and belief.
Yes. We
do have a document. Because I'm skeptical many times today, these modern textbooks and resources, they've tainted history.
Yes.
But we do have a lot of accurate historical documents, particularly the Mayflower Compact.
Yes.
That's accessible. So that kind of sets the stage that this celebration was rooted in how the providence of God led a people through a very difficult time, but he sustained them. Mm-hmm. And through their faith in God, their hard work, they were able to succeed. And in return from God's care and custody of them, they had this celebration. And I believe that at the root, historically, is Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. We can make Thanksgiving into so many things, especially in the secularization of Thanksgiving. Just as we have today, most of our high holy holidays, Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas in particular, we've seen it secularized. It is marketed from the standpoint of sales of this. Just like with Thanksgiving, most of the stores now are having their booming shopping from the standpoint of the marketplace of food to eat. And generally speaking, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about Thanksgiving, that's what most people think about. It's just food, just eating. But I think, Brother Ken, that it is wise for the Christian to go back and reflection on that first Thanksgiving, go back and reflect on what they were thanking the Lord for, and that was for the preservation and protection and the provision to meet their needs. And I think so often in America, we're just like the 10 leprous men that went to Jesus. I believe that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 17. The 10 went to Jesus, and they had leprosy. And, of course, in that day, in that culture, in that time, leprosy was a death sentence. All of them were going to die because of leprosy. They saw Jesus coming, and they all ran, the scripture says, fell down on their knees before him and asked him for his mercy to heal them. Jesus healed all 10 of them. 9 of them got up and walked away. 1 came back, fell before the feet of Jesus, and thanked him for healing him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good example, Brother Ken, I believe a good example for what we see in American culture today. We say, Lord, heal me. God, provide my meals. God, provide me with a job. God, provide me with health. God, meet the need in my life. God, provide all of my needs. And yet we fail, and fall so miserably in our nation today of pausing to say thank you. So with that being said, Brother Ken, how many days a year should we celebrate Thanksgiving?
Very good question. Very good question. And we're going to find that in the references in the New Testament, mm-hmm. that I'd like to get into maybe in the second half of our conversation. Mm-hmm. But I would like to draw out this point that I believe the pilgrims, the Bible believers, mm-hmm. were so knowledgeable and involved in the reading and studying and practicing of the principles of the Bible that harvesting, thankfulness, mm-hmm. praising God, seeing through difficult circumstances how the hand of God is still there, protecting, guiding, leading, sustaining, even through the most difficult times, because they were driven by the scriptures, you can see how that their success in making it through that winter, and in being so familiar with biblical principles, how this became a feast and a time of thanksgiving and praise to God.
Absolutely. And as you were saying that, I was looking here in my scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It's a text I believe that we need to have our attention drawn to. By him, speaking of Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It's being thankful for the Lord. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. I would venture to say, Brother Ken, that out of Christians in general, rarely do we think about Jesus and what he's done on Calvary's cross that we celebrate at Thanksgiving, saying, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your shed blood covering my sin. Thank you for giving me eternal life through your death on the cross. Thank you, thank you. This is the reason, Brother Ken, I find it so absolutely unusual but yet real that most today think about Thanksgiving as just one day that we're to eat a big turkey dinner and sit back and watch football the rest of the day, which, by the way, I don't care for at all. You can have all the sports you want to. It's not going to bother me. I'm not going to take 3 minutes of my time to be bothered with it. But many do that, and it's a failure. I believe the first and foremost thing for a Christian, for an American, for a patriot, for a conservative in our nation, the first and foremost thing that we need to be thankful for is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We need to be thankful for the Scripture. We need to be thankful for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. We need to be thankful that even in difficult times, even in dark days, that God is still on the throne. God is still meeting every need. And from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, the Lord Jesus Christ is still prominent and preeminent in the life and the work of every person. And so, Brother Ken, let's ask our listeners. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? How are you celebrating Thanksgiving? What are you praising God for? See, it's not just with a worship service, but it is the praise of our lips, Brother Ken. I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Speak to that for a moment.
Yes, my pastor, Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
You know him.
Yeah. I've been under his ministry for a while. He's taught me one critical thing. Context, context, context.
Amen.
And that verse that you read in Hebrews chapter, which, by the way, Hebrews, I believe, is the most important book in the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. It takes and explains the critical aspects of the Old Testament and places it into New Testament concepts and reality.
Yes.
From the shadows, the types, and the metaphors. Mm-hmm. So I think to really get a good grasp on 13:15 of Hebrews, it's rooted in the Old Testament practices.
Right.
So again, in my quest as a Christian, first of all, I want to obey all the commands of Christ, small and great. Mm-hmm. I start with investigating history. Is there anything nefarious about a holiday or an action or something that's proposed to me? Next, I move to the Old Testament. And in looking at the Old Testament, it's filled with offerings and feasts of thanksgiving.
Yes.
Back to the pilgrims. How did they come up with this? Well, it's rooted in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Originally. So first there was a thanksgiving offering. It was a voluntary offering specified in Leviticus 7:11 through 15 that if some great difficulty and illness, some great victory was experienced by one of the Israelites, they had the opportunity to recognize that God was responsible for the success of that event.
Yes.
And they would bring something of cost to them and offer it as a thanksgiving offering.
It was a sacrifice offering, a sacrificial
exactly.
Thanksgiving offering. Go ahead.
And then we had three main feasts of thanksgiving. And I find it interesting that these feasts and celebrations are geared around a very critical word that you and I have been discussing, mm-hmm. harvest.
That's right.
Harvest.
That's right.
So they had the Feast of Weeks, they had, which was Pentecost. Mm-hmm. They had the Feast of Tabernacles, and they had the Feast of the First Fruits. All of these feasts present to us these grand, beautiful doctrines about Jesus Christ. And the harvest in which he empowers the New Testament church to infiltrate our communities with the plain, simple, powerful gospel to win lost souls to him.
Amen.
So that's really the rooting. You have these specific voluntary offerings, and then you have these feasts, three of them, where the Israelites would travel to Jerusalem, to the temple,
yes.
to participate in these harvest events, all centered around the great truths of our Savior, our High Priest, what he gave us, and then the commissioning of his true disciples to infiltrate and take the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
And then celebrate bringing back our sheaves, bringing back the won souls on behalf of our great Savior.
Amen. So what you're saying is we have the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental thought of thanksgiving as being a sacrificial service, saying thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for what you've done for us. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
I'm thankful for life and his amazing grace.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the word of God. And Lord, and I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done. Because Dr. Youngblood, I should have been dead a long time ago. And even going through thoughts of suicide, I never really realized how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
And all that he's got, the whole world in his hand.
Yes.
And today is another day that he has made. And I'm thankful for my family, my husband. I'm thankful for your broadcast because I have been so enlightened. I'm still ignorant on some things.
Join the club. We are too.
God for you. I thank God for you. I Amen. Really do. And your family.
Amen. Well, Terry, we're thankful for you. We pray that God will continue to bless you and your family. And as we celebrate Thanksgiving, I'm thankful to hear you say, and it's in pretty good prioritized order that you gave that, thankful for salvation, thankful for the Lord, thankful for what he's done for us, thankful for providing life and health and strength. Many did not awaken this morning. So every morning when I awaken, I'm saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for giving me the privilege of serving you. Thank you for your word.
Yes.
Thank you for the health and strength you've given me. That ought to be the mantra of the heart of every child of God. And so, Terry, I'm thankful for you. Thankful for your testimony. Thankful for your willingness to call in and express your testimony so that others could hear it. So thank you, and you have a blessed day, and may you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We've got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour news, so we've still got time for your call. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Good morning. Yeah, I back up. My wife, what she just said, well, America is going down the drain because we are not thankful anymore.
Brother Kenneth, let me say this. Our time is real close for the top of the hour news, but you're exactly right. We have a nation today that God has blessed more than any other nation on the face of God's green earth. We have more today in resources, more today in privileges, more today in opportunities than any other nation. And yet I find so sadly, so unfortunately, that for the most part, America is an ungrateful nation. There's a mindset that it's mine, I'm going to take it, it's mine, I deserve it, without recognizing that all of this comes out of the very loving, graceful, merciful hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.